introduce yourself.
John Avendano, president of Kankakee Community College. We have a building that was partially finished, and it's sitting out front. This is our third construction year that we're going to miss because all projects were ceased. The building is right out front of our campus. It has been fenced off because we received notification from the governor's office to cease all projects. The monies had already been allocated. We even called the governor's office to say, is it okay to start this project? And he said, yes. We started the project. We have all the foundation down. We have the underground utilities in. And then we received the cease notice. And that was in 2015. And it's been sitting like that ever since. We had steel that had been fabricated for the facility that is in storage that we are paying a monthly fee so it doesn't get rusted and no longer usable. The cost of that project is only continuing to escalate, and it's just a mess.
Remind people how community colleges are funded. There's three pots of money that you get, right?
Exactly. So when community colleges were first established, well, a little over 50 years ago now, they were established to be funded from three different primary sources. One was from a local tax dollars. Two was from the state appropriations for higher education, and then three through student tuition dollars. Theoretically and practically, they were established to be funded a third from each of those sources.
So if state appropriation is one third of it, and, you know, we are in Illinois, how's that working out for you right now?
But the last couple of years, through a lack of a state budget, the state hasn't really been able to provide the level of funding that higher education and specifically community colleges need. You know, so it's like a three-legged stool. When one of those legs is missing, the other two have to compensate for that, or the cost of education has been passed on to the student.
Okay, so when was the last time you got 30% of your operating budget from the state?
FY15 was probably the last time we had a typical budget, if you will, even though it had been reduced from the previous year from the state. The following year, FY16, we had received approximately 13% from the state. Last year, or I should say this current fiscal year, we have received what would be equivalent to about 43-44% that we normally get from the state of Illinois. And with the budget impasse, we also don't know how to plan for the next year. Our fiscal year ends on June 30th. New fiscal year starts on July 1st. It is hard to plan for the entire next year when we don't know what we would be receiving from the state, if anything. We know that we can receive as little as 13%. We may get nothing. We may get, you know, a partial payment of some sort. So the challenge for community colleges around the state of Illinois, and specifically for us, is the uncertainty of how to plan for the following year. We are required by law to have a budget submitted and have it be balanced. So it becomes a nearly impossible task for us to do. And so, again, from a planning perspective, it becomes nearly impossible.
So do you hire an accountant or a psychic?
We don't. Unfortunately, we don't have any access to psychics, and it's probably not a good planning method from that perspective. Although I know all of my colleagues wish they had a crystal ball, including myself. You know, what many schools have done is not plan on having any money from the state. And so they, as a result, have had to cut programs and cut services and cut back on hours. And unfortunately, it flies against the mission of the community college, which is providing quality, affordable access to higher education and to programs.
And the other two legs of that stool,
yes,
are student tuition and local property taxes, right?
Correct. Correct.
And a popular campaign going through the legislature is to freeze property taxes. How would that affect your situation? Yeah.
Well, again, when you have a three-legged stool and one of those is gone and you put a limit on the other one, it becomes even more of a challenge to be able to deliver everything that you can do. What most of the schools have done, especially the last couple of years, was to reduce the costs. And so, you know, already a number of positions have been either vacated or reduced. There have been eliminations of programs and services to try to, you know, again, provide a balanced budget.
You mentioned the mission of community colleges.
Yep.
And before I took this job, I think that I perceived community colleges to be a place where you could go do your first 2 years of college, you know, if you were headed to a university. And what I've come to learn is that that's one service that community colleges provide, but another service is that they offer courses that the university does not offer. Like, there's certain things that only a community college provides, adult education services, things like that. Can you talk a little bit about the things that Kankakee Community College provides that aren't offered at a four-year school?
So yeah, part of our mission is obviously offering the first 2 years of a baccalaureate degree. So those students who are looking at eventually getting a bachelor's degree can get that freshman, sophomore year experience at their respective community colleges. Another big part, and quite honestly, probably a bigger part of our mission, is to provide adult education for our respective communities. And adult education, more specifically, is those who are getting their GED or adult basic education or English as a second language or basic literacy skills and math computation skills. So many of our residents in our communities depend on that.
Because if you're 29 years old and, you know, you'd been a high school dropout for whatever reason, and you decide that you really need that credential, you can't go to your local high school. You are too old.
We don't
let grown people into mingle with high school kids. And
absolutely.
And yet you can't get into a university because you don't have the high school credential. So a community college is the place you have to go, right?
Absolutely. That is outside the mission of those other institutions. It is the community college where they go to get that credential, the GED. And then beyond the adult education that we also offer applied science degrees and applied science programs, and specifically areas such as manufacturing and healthcare, programs that train people to get right into the workforce. They don't need the baccalaureate degree. They really just need a skill set that employers, local employers, business and industry needs. We are economic engines, if you will, for our respective communities because we provide the workforce for our local communities. Another part of our mission people are sometimes unfamiliar with is that we also do corporate training and workforce training. So these are people who are already employed in our local respective communities, and their business provides them to go on to get additional training, to move up, to be promoted, to learn new skills. Well, they go to their local community college because we can be flexible and we can provide that customized training for them. These are the programs that are in jeopardy by not having state budget.
Okay. I mean, to me, it's sounding more like, I know you like to say economic engine. It almost sounds to me like you're the beehive with the worker bees. You guys cultivate the worker bees who go out and pollinate and make everything else work.
I think that's a great way to put that. Yes, we're able to do that, like I said, for our respective communities.
Okay. So we've been talking big picture about community colleges as a whole. Give me three specific kinds of courses that you have that aren't at a four-year school.
Welding, manufacturing, CAD.
CAD is a computer-assisted design.
Yeah, computer-assisted design, electrical technicians, machine tool, millwrights.
HVAC?
Heating, ventilation, and air conditioning is a program that we have. Construction trades are programs that we have. Health careers is a big one. Respiratory therapists and phlebotomists and nursing.
Phlebotomists, in case people don't know, that's who sticks the needle in your arm to draw your blood.
Exactly. Those are the people who work in our healthcare facilities. So it is rare that you will go into any kind of healthcare facility and not encounter somebody who is a community college graduate, whether they're physical therapy assistants, occupational therapy assistants, respiratory therapists, the people who take the x-rays. So those are people who are trained at the local community college. And some local communities maybe need more adult ed, some may need more corporate training. It varies by respective community college. And we already do it at the most affordable way that you're going to find in any sector of higher education. We're critical to our respective communities.
Do you happen to have a child care center?
We did. That was one of the casualties of the budget impasse for us, is we had to eliminate the college child care center.
When did you do that?
We did that 2 years ago. Now, I will say this. We were able to work out a deal with our local Head Start program to be able to offer child care for our students. But we had eliminated the child care program here at the college.
So you patched that. You found a patch for that. But do you have to qualify for Head Start?
They do. They do. So not all of our students would end up qualifying, and it is limited in size. So we're not able to fully meet the child care needs for our community. We had an NPR station here that we had to close, and it was the only station that provided, at the time, public radio for our local community.
Oh, man.
I found a patch. Yeah, I thought that would really get to you. I found a patch for that as well, but it's I can't keep pulling rabbits out of the hat for these types of programs.
Somebody I interviewed, I want to say this was 2 years ago, said, I can deal with anything but uncertainty. Just tell me how much I'm going to get and I can plan for it. But the uncertainty is killing me.
That's exactly right. And I think that's probably the biggest challenge that you'll hear from all of my colleagues around the state is the uncertainty. And it's the uncertainty during a time when we are planning for the following year. You know, there's only so many programs you can cut before you start have to cut in people.
So when you're facing uncertainty, do you tend to err on the side of planning for the best case scenario, or do you err on the side of planning for the worst case scenario? And also, what do you see among your staff and students? Because they're dealing with this same uncertainty. Do you feel like they're anticipating the worst or anticipating the best?
Well, I think more often than not, people plan on the worst. I think that you can't plan for a best case scenario when you know you've already seen some what you think are already worst case scenarios. My concern is that what does that mean, not just for Kankakee Community College, but what does that mean for our state as a whole?
Okay, real short answers to this, please.
Sure.
MAP grants, how much have you lost, and what is your current policy for students with MAP grants?
We used to receive $1 million in tuition revenue through MAP, 2015-2016. We received $165,000 through MAP monies. In 2016-2017, we don't have any MAP dollars yet. A lot of our students use their Pell money. Unfortunately, the Pell money that was used for their tuition was not available for their books or other transportation or childcare. And so as a result, they borrowed, if you will, from Peter to pay Paul and left them short in other areas for their educational expenses.
Have you already decided how you're handling MAP for this coming year?
Well, because there's so much uncertainty with state, we couldn't continue to take institutional dollars to help support the students. And so we would be using their Pell dollars.
Okay.